Father. Thank you that you are the only Lord that we need. We don't need anything else. Thank you that we can come and we can worship you and we can honor you and we can you know, be replenished in your love, Lord, and that we it surpasses our knowledge how much you love us, Father. Thank you that your love is like a rock, like a mountain that we can stand on, Father. Thank you that we know you're always the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, Father. That we can approach you and that we can pray to you and we can love you as well, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you will open our eyes and our hearts and our understanding for today, Father, for what you've put on my heart to share. Thank you, Lord, that it will be a good fragrance in your eyes, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. This is a new thing. I don't know. Must I keep it closer or closer?
Whoa. This is very close.
Is there anyone who wants to share something that the Lord has revealed to you during the worship or during this week that you feel you can really bless this congregation with? But now?
Good evening, church. I should just tell you what happened. In September, many of you know that I was retrenched, as they call it in South Africa, I think. I'm not sure what's the Dutch word. But lay off from my job. And I immediately prayed, obviously, what would my next job be. So I applied at one company. It's a company where I first thought, what was my priority list? Let's start there. I want a job where I work less hours. And I want a job at a company where we have the same morals or values, if I can put it like that. But I don't want to work for a bank because they are the sharks, or as my friend would say, the devil. So those were my criteria, the less hours, of course, and a company that really stands for something in society. And I prayed and I prayed and I eventually found a company where I thought, they make a difference, whether it's small, big, but at least it's something that I also believe in and stand for. So I applied at the company. I went for 3 interviews. During that time, I was contacted by another company and they offered me a job at a bank. So I had 2 options, the bank, which is a sure thing because they gave me a signed contract. It was 40 hours, so full time, something I didn't want again. And the company that I really wanted to work, after 3 interviews, they eventually told me, sorry, we're going to go for the other candidate. I was disappointed because I thought, I prayed for this job. Doesn't God promise I'm going to give your heart's desires and all that? So I thought, maybe God doesn't want me to give, he doesn't want me to work there. And as panic struck in, because you need to make a living, I signed the contract at the bank because I thought, jobs are scarce here in my field. So let's take that job, at least then I will have a job. I went to South Africa for 3 weeks in November. I came back. I was standing at the airport at Schiphol. I was supposed to start Monday at the bank, which I really didn't look forward to, but it was a job, right? At the airport, coming back from South Africa, I got a call from the other job. Ma'am, we made a mistake. We would like to give you a job. And I was like, see, God still blesses even if we're sometimes disobedient, because I was disobedient, right? I was like, I'm not waiting. I want a job. I want money. I need money. I need a job. So I took the bank job, which I didn't want it, and it was full time. And yeah, God again worked in mysterious ways through my disobedience, through my impatience, and I got the job what I really wanted and prayed for. So just to encourage you, be patient sometimes, and God still sees our hearts and what we want, and he does give it to us, even if we're sometimes disobedient.
Anyone else? Yes.
I thought something.
You're happy. I'm just coming from Sheffield, London, and the pastor there, I've mentioned to Dad Ken, but he sends sibling love. So I really just want to bless all of you here tonight as well. And it's really for us a privilege to be here. Maybe just something that I haven't even managed to share with the pastor that side yet, but I felt just on my heart to share it tonight. I think there's a lot happening in my heart at the moment, and God's working a lot with us. We just also recently started settling in London, and I just realized I've been in Shofar for a long time. And I realize I've sort of started finding my identity in the church in a way that I've just been riding the wave. I've just been enjoying the ride. And God is really just bringing me, and I think for my wife also, to a place where we realize that family is family, and it's so nice. It's such a privilege to be part of a bride, to be part of a family, to be part of a body. And just to be here tonight, it's just such an honor just to be part of a family. And God blesses family structure. He blesses structure. And I mean, for a long time, I think in my life after varsity, I went into the bush for a few years, literally, and just trying to be away from everything. But he's brought me back. And I just want to give him all the glory because he's faithful. And as long as we allow him to work in our lives and mold us, it's not always easy if you're on the operation table and the pastor operates. But you got to trust. And I just want to encourage all of you to also allow God to work the miracles in our lives. Amen. Yes, amen. Amen. That's good.
Awesome. Just to confirm, isn't it very disturbing if you keep it like this? It makes him. It doesn't matter. You'll be surprised. Okay. I'll do my best. When God shared with me the name of this service, I struggled. Resurrection Power. First I thought, okay, cool. And then I started to work out, and then I couldn't really get around it and know what God was saying. And then I spoke to our youngest son, and he said, Mom, that's a cool topic. Because if you had to speak on tithing, it was much more difficult. I said, okay, yeah, perhaps in that sense. But it took me a while, but I really feel this is what God had on his heart. And I pray that you will receive what God planned for you today. Okay, I want to ask you, have you ever seen healings? Have you ever seen someone miraculously healed after prayer? Anyone? You, Derke? You? No one else? Okay. The Bible tells us that we may pray for people and they will be healed. And we all know that not everyone we pray for gets healed. Okay, that's still, I'm going to ask God in heaven why it didn't work so perfectly. But this resurrection power, when I was very young, I always learned that the same power that God resurrected Jesus from the dead is in us. And I didn't understand it really, and I was looking for it, and I couldn't find it. But then I realized it lies in it. I didn't grasp it really the right way. So I'm going to start with the gifts of the Holy Spirit that God gave us. It's powerful gifts that he gave us. I'll get to the rest later, but I'm quickly going to go through them. Yesterday we had Encounter One. So a few of the people sitting here is going to hear this now for the second time. So I can ask you to do it because did you listen well? But it is so beautiful. It is so powerful. It is so out of the extraordinary. It's really miracles that work through us. And first, the word of wisdom. It's God's word of the future. The wisdom. It is really God's wisdom. As you know, we don't know what is going to happen in the next second. We can assume, but often it's just a good guess. But what will happen next year with us, or what we don't know. And the prophets always functioned in this word of wisdom. So when God shared with them the future, It was words of wisdom that God shared with him. Then the next one is a word of knowledge. It is a fact that is now or in the past. So in the present or in the past. And the servant through whom it will operate couldn't normally know, not couldn't, he couldn't or wouldn't have known about the facts. We have a pastor in South Africa, Sias. He operates in this fantastically. It's really a gift that that God blessed him with, and he's not. Sometimes I can see that he will share on the from the pulpit an altar call, and he says, "Yes, I feel there's someone with this and this," and then no one comes to the front, and then I know, yes, Sias, that's when you say you die to yourself. It's not that what God gave him was wrong. It's just that person is disobedient, or he is full of fear, and he just doesn't want to react on that. I learned that later. So that's the word of knowledge. Then we have, isn't it beautiful, beautiful stuff that God gave us? It is so cool. Okay, then we have a discerning of spirits. That is not mind reading or psychoanalysis or discerning of things or whatever. But it is really, and when I studied this again, it made so much sense to me that it is to see what is soul and what is spirit. To see the presence and activity of a spirit that motivate a human being, good or bad. So we are spirit, soul, body. Just quickly, spirit links with God. Our soul is our thinking, our will, and our mind. So often we feel not coming out of bed, like Karlinki shared this morning. She slept too many hours, and then she's tired to get out of bed. I never experienced that. I'm always tired to get out of bed. But so that is your soul. But sometimes you can see there's a spirit operating in someone that is not really him or her. And that is a discerning of those spirits. Some people also can discern spirits in an area. I shared with a group yesterday that we once prayed for a mission team who went to Prague and Vienna and so. And when I prayed for this guy, I just saw these antennas on his head, as well as these discs that you put on for your TV. Now in South Africa, those ones. Satellite dishes, yeah. And I said, "What's wrong with you that I see all this stuff on your head?" And then the other guy laughed and he said, "Yes, he senses all the spirits around him. So whenever he enters in a new town, he will pick up the strongholds there. He will pick up, say, greed, or in Amsterdam, if you have that discerning, you will pick up often lust or sexuality or addictions." And then for this person, it is sometimes tough, but when as soon as you discern it and you know it's not your lust, it's not your greed, it's not you, it is the area. And God doesn't give it for nothing to you. You need to do something with that gift, but we'll get there. Okay, then the working of miracles. Have anyone ever seen a miracle? A miracle that happened? Oh, man. We really need to practice this. Luckily, the Bible says stir up those gifts, eh? So we're gonna practice them. We're going to go out. I think we really must go on a mission local, yeah, in Utrecht, and just do it. Okay. Working of miracles is a supernatural occurrence. It's like Samson. He had so much power. It was not normal. It was not natural. No? But also, like, sometimes it's just an easy example. If your finger is cut off and it's gone, and, yeah, it's not there anymore. They didn't stitch it on. And then someone pray for you for a new finger, and it grows back and it's there. That is this miracle. Okay? So it is really supernatural that it grows back. Skin normally grows back, but not a finger. Okay, then healing, the gift of healing. Okay, I did ask this question before, so I'm not going to ask it again. But healing is super cool. All of them are so cool. I remember a girl who went on missions to India, and there came a lady to her, and she asked her to pray for her because she's blind and she wants to see. Actually, that was perhaps a miracle. But her eyes were white. No, the color of her eyes were white. So this girl, she said, oh, no, I must pray for this. So she prayed. And as she prayed, the other girl who stood next to her saw the color of the eye come back. And suddenly this lady started screaming because she could see. And she had eyes, but it didn't work. So I don't know. I feel this is healing. It's really a miracle. It's not by doctors or I feel the way our bodies heal after something happened is also a miracle, no? How God put that in our bodies. My ligaments were torn, and at church they prayed. It was even my own son who prayed for me, and I didn't have faith in that. Poor son, luckily he had faith. And I could walk out of church. I came in with crutches. Now remember that that church is huge. Well, 500-600 people, or 800, some people say. And I came in with crutches, and I walked past them, and those crutches click when you lean on them. They're like click, 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 click. So I went like that, and then I thought, you will all see me come back with these crutches. Click, 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 click. And luckily it didn't happen. Bernard could carry them underneath his arm. But yeah, it was really healing. So I know God can do this. Okay, and then we have the gift of prophecy. Prophecy is to edify, to exhort, and to comfort. It's not to reprimand. I see you're doing the wrong thing. You must come back to God or whatever. No, it is really to edify, to build up, to exhort, encourage. The example that I read was the one person said to another one, Jesus is coming soon. Don't give up. Exhort the person. Come on. Stay here, don't fall back. And comfort is healing of distress or sorrow or persecution and suffering. So prophecy is really positive input that we give each other. Speaking in tongues and interpretation of tongues, I'll quickly share, but if you have more confusion on this, please ask me. Speaking in tongues, this gift is for speaking in tongues in church. It's when someone comes to the front and he feels he has a tongue and he speaks this tongue and no one can understand. And we all look at this person and he's da-da-da-da-da, he is going on. And then we wait for the interpretation of tongues. It always goes together. And then someone comes, and sometimes it's more than one that comes and share the same message that God. And this is really for upbuilding the church. It is... All these powers, I call it powers, this stuff that can work through us, is not for yourself. It is for the upbuilding of the church, for other people. So you cannot say, yes, I prayed, I healed him. No, it's not you. I like doing deliverance, but you can never say, oh, I did the deliverance. No. God worked through me. It's God. I can pray till I'm blue in the face, but if God is not there, nothing will happen. It's deliverance through a person. It's through the prayer. And often we see that in life, people want power. Power, when you also get teachings on leadership, I haven't attended a lot, so perhaps I'm here on thin ice. It's about a little manipulating, about telling the people where to go. If you see, what is a one-man ruler state? Autocracy, no. A dictator, that's the word that I want to... A dictatorship, it's power. They want to keep the power. They want to be influential. But often it's also people. People want to have power and be influential and feel they're in control. And they are the man or they are the person. And in movies and films, we often also see it's about power. So the world is power. I think if you own power, you feel good about yourself. Or you feel in control, or you feel, well, no one can hurt me, at least I can whack him back, or whatever. So power is powerful. And then God gives us power. The next slide. It's the miracle-working dynamite power of God. The word power is originally dunamis, which we have dynamite from. And I think if anyone believes in the Big Bang, it was like dynamite. It was powerful. I think when God created the earth, it must have been powerful. I think it was with a lot of noise and a lot of, yeah, luckily I was not there. I think I would have died. Because if a explosion looks like this, then you must know how much the universe explosion looks like when God creates something. But anything. Anyway, we also sometimes say power in horsepower, no? So much horsepower. The engines, does it still work on that? On horsepower? Okay. And then last week, Darken had a sermon on where do we put our hope in. And that in the Old Testament, often it was on your horsepower. If you have enough horses, you can fight, you can go, you can move. So horses was important, but then God says, don't put your faith in horses, no? So this power, and I wanna say about this power, because the sermon is about the resurrection power. It is a wisdom or an energy that comes from elsewhere. It comes from somewhere. And often in our world, there's, I think it was before, but I wonder if everyone sees it now. We are looking for powers outside God's will. And I'm just gonna say a few, mention a few, just to make you think of what we are busy with. And it sounds perhaps very New Age, but it is actually very New Age, these powers. So people use crystals. It's a power not from God. No? Or levitation. Have you ever seen levitation? No? I have seen it in my primary school. Can you believe it? They invited people that could do that. It was horrible. I didn't know, but I thought it was very cool. But yeah, it's with a power. No? There's some power happening there. Then Buddha, family of ours have 8 Buddhas in their garden and inside, and when I ask them why, then they say, yeah, because they give a peace. It's a kind of a power, no? They give an energy of peace. Yoga, meditation not on the word, I'm talking of now, no? Meditation of something else. And in yoga, you learn to open your brain up with no thinking, yeah? With no, whatever, and with even rituals, signs, or you must do your fingers like this or whatever. And God never says, open your mind of everything. He says, meditate on the word, stay conscious, be alert. Don't let it just open up and all the gates are wide open and everything can come in. It's really dangerous. Hearing from angels. Once a person came to me and she says, since she tapped into her angel, things are going wrong. It is not cool. It's not God. Even though that we think God created the angels, which is true. We are not supposed to communicate with angels. No, it's not. It's demons at the end. If you get a channel there, it is not an angel, a fallen angel perhaps. Okay, occultic powers, sacrifices for power. When we were at the origin of the Sana, was last week. 2 weeks back. Well, last week. We prayed there and I shared quickly about the, is it a deity or a god that is lying there on an altar, on the spring there, on the water there, and people said she had healing powers and they bring sacrifices to her. It's not cool. It's not from God. Okay, and then stars, the zodiac, the you're born under this star and that gives you certain trends or powers or whatever. It's not from God. God never said you must be born under that star and that will give you that DNA and that attribute. It's not like that. And when I read Chronicles recently, when you see that when the idols came in, a king, he put the zodiac, the heaven, what do they call it? Heaven constellation, they put in the Temple of Solomon so that they can pray to this constellation. No, it's the zodiac. It's where Babel also comes from. It was the zodiac. Charms, we often put charms around our wrists. It doesn't really have powers. But you give it power. No? Rituals, prayer, rituals. Rituals is, why do you do a ritual? No, just make yourself think, why do you do a ritual if it's not for God? No, if you pray and you want to, I don't know if we can see that as a ritual, but that's a thing we do often. You don't need to sit like this and sit like that and do like that or whatever. It's ungodly. Prayer to other gods. And that can also shed last week a little about the whole clock that we had and the horse and the wheel on the clock. I didn't know that the sun worship used that. We know Freemasonry, or I know about Freemasonry a little, and the sun worship looks different there, but I didn't know that the chariot and the horse was part of sun worship. So we need to get that stuff also out of our houses, because why? It's not that we pray towards that, but it has a power because other people pray to that symbol. Now, at one stage we had Breda and Smalleweg. It's very often in the Netherlands. I don't know, Caroline, if you know about that. But it has the all-seeing eye on top, and specifically in a triangle, it's typically of the Freemasons. Now, so then I said, you know, in the whole time, my children, when they played with a ball in our house, which they were not allowed to, they used to kick that thing. And then it will break, and then we repair it again. So eventually we could burn it. Then it was out of the house. In Prague, they pray to the infant Jesus. And so there's a church, especially for the infant Jesus. It's a small doll in a huge dress. I think they are gender confused, but in a huge dress. And then it stands on a golden altar, and it's enormous and whatever. And I've seen people there crying, praying to this doll for healing. And seemingly that doll has given some people healing. So it's from the enemy. The enemy can give you good things, but he always takes something back. He will heal you. Now, with homeopathic medicine or whatever, that's also not good. He will heal you, but I read a book on that, and the guy said, what the enemy does, he steals your faith just before you die. And no one wants that. The enemy will always take something back. God not. When he gives those Holy Spirit gifts, even if you are out of line with them, some some pastors or some people who get pray to people and they get healed often, they think they are great. So then they, the honor comes to them. Even then, God doesn't take it away from them. God is not into for himself. He wants to bless us with it. Bless us with this. Okay. The last thing I want to say is Molech. Molech is the god of murder or death. And often in the Old Testament you see it, and even I think now, it's when you bring your baby or your child and it's burnt or offered for the god Molech to get, of course, his favor. Nowadays, it operates different. It operates in abortions. It's all murder. Now, to the same god, to Molech. Halloween is the same god that sits behind it. If you look a little into Halloween, you see that they kill persons on Halloween night. They offer them to the gods. So it's the same. It's Molech. It's not God. Okay. Now I'm finished with all the horrible stuff. There is no condemnation whatsoever. This is to inform us. This is to help us. This is to grow. This is to understand that there's many powers operating, but not all from God. Okay, so now we're going to go to the awesome part. Ephesians. This is a prayer of Paul to the Ephesians, and isn't it awesome if we can all pray that to one another or to other churches or whatever? So, for this reason, because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, the people of God, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So he prays for them. For I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation of insight into the mysteries and secrets in the deep and intimate knowledge of him. Now, if you hear mysteries and secrets, you often think ungodly or occultic or satanic or whatever. But those gifts that we started with, the Holy Spirit gives, you cannot really explain them. It's out of the ordinary. So there is a mystery with it. And then here Paul says, I pray that you will have wisdom and revelation in all those mysteries and the knowledge of him, him as God. And isn't that wonderful and beautiful? Because there's no hook behind it. It's not you give me this, I whack you with this. It is just all awesome, wonderful, favorable to us. Okay, and then verse 18, by having the eyes of your heart flooded with light so that you can know and understand, again, the hope to which he has called you and how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints. He set apart ones. Okay, I want to say hope to which he has called you. This hope is our eternal life. And I often think we cannot really think how awesome it would be or how bad it would be without it. I don't know if any of you have ever read a few books on people who have been to heaven or people who have been to hell. And they don't know each other and they write the same. And then I think, ooh, this must be real. It's not the Bible. But often, most times, they have scriptural evidence of what they've seen there. Hell is not fun. And that what God has prepared for us is immensely, awesomely, wonderful, super cool. It is so beautiful. And I pray with Paul that we can grasp this hope of one day going there, meeting him. And then in the knowledge of who God is, I think no one of us ever can really grasp the total godness, the total God, how he operates, how he functions. But It's a lifelong thing, and that's super cool. Every time when I get a revelation of something, I think, wow, I didn't know this. So, ach ja, it's really a journey. Okay, let's quickly go to... we were at 18, sorry. No. Oh, yes, I want to say, His glorious inheritance in the saints. This is God. He is with a capital. It is God's glorious inheritance. It's His, what He also looks forward to have us there, to have us in this heavenly space. So He is even looking forward to that. Okay, here the main verse is Ephesians 1 verse 19. And so that you can know and understand, so it's always know and understand. That's why I use the Amplified. They always put this for us in. What is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of His power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of His mighty strength? We'll go on just now. But it is this immeasurable, unlimited, surpassing greatness of His power. I don't know if there's better words for the work, for that power. And that power is in us and for us. Yesterday when we walked around here and just gave some kadotjes, small little parcels out to the people here to say thank you that we can have church here. The one guy said, what did I want to say now about, I don't know, perhaps it will come back just now. But this power is in and for us, it is flowing through us. It's not that, that's what he said, He is God. God is God. And we are also God. And then he said, no, we are not God. God is separate from us. We believe in God. But God is not in us, but His power flows through us. When say those gifts that He gave us, it's His power flowing through us. So we must be open to be used so that power can flow through us and not the wrong powers. And it was demonstrated in the working of His mighty strength, which, verse 20, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. So when, I don't know if we can grasp how much power or energy or might it needed to be to get Jesus out of hell, because He was in hell. And how that power, that immense power to get Him back into heaven, functions through us. It is enormous. It's that resurrection power that took Him out there, and that is what God let us have in us and through us. And then I think we want to be powerful and mighty. And God has given this resource to us, but we don't use it. As I can see, we are not using it. So we're going to use this now. It's not there for nothing. Okay. And then verse 21 to 23 is the last one. Far above all rule and authority. That's now where Jesus went now. Authority and power and dominion and every name that is named above, every title that can be conferred, not only in this age and in this world, but also the age and the world which are to come. And He has put all things under His feet, under Jesus' feet, and has appointed Him, Jesus, the universal and supreme head of the church. The headship exercises throughout the church, which is His body. The fullness of Him who fits all in all, for in that body lives that full measure of Him who makes everything complete and who fills everything everywhere with Himself. What I want to say here in these few verses is that Jesus sits next to God the Father, but God the Father has given Him the authority, and that flows through us also. He is the head of us as church. Isn't that, it's such a safe place. We don't have an evil force over us, and we need to please him and offer our firstborns or whatever. It is this amazing Father who gave Jesus as our head of our church, and who gives and the Holy Spirit with all his blessings. It is beautiful. That's the power that he gave us. It is so immense. Okay. Let's come back. Just a roundup. God's power is to be used for the upbuilding of the church. As I've said before, it is not to boast in. It's not to say, yee, I've got this powerful car, or I can, whatever, jump over 10 walls, or I can face an army. It is really used for the upbuilding of the church. The Holy Spirit gifts is to be used for the upbuilding of the church, and it's powerful. It's not the only gifts that's been given, but it's powerful gifts. And Paul says, he is full of energy for sharing and preaching. And that's part of that power. Are we full of energy to preach and to share and to go? He couldn't keep quiet. I think there's one of the prophets also said, I don't want to share anymore, but it's burning inside of me, so I just have to go. Do we have that? Do we have that? Because it's available to us now. And it's not for your own dominion or power. And God is so super cool. When I read Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 32, it's about Hezekiah. And then the king of Assyria, seemingly it was a humongous king. Well, not humongous as person, but powerful. He had a huge army and many people joined him. Sennacherib is his name. And they were outnumbered totally. So what did Hezekiah do? He sat in Jerusalem with a wall around him, and he just sat there. Because as soon as they would go out and fight them, they will lose. It was outnumbered totally. And then Sennacherib, sorry for the struggle of this name, Sennacherib writes him letters, and he say, why are you afraid to come out? Just give up, because there is no city that I couldn't conquer. There is no country with all the gods that I couldn't conquer. So, and you even demolished all your gods that you had, and you only have one god left. And do you now really think that god will do it for you? And they even sent people speaking in the language of Hezekiah to shout to the watchtower people and curse them and say, and blaspheme them, you're stupid God, and da 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 da. So it was really intimidating. And yes, at the end your food is finished, no? And your water is not there anymore. So there needs to become a plan, and then Hezekiah and Isaiah, they prayed. They asked God, and God said, don't worry. I will take care of them. And then the next day he cut, I don't know what they mean by cut off all the captains and the, is it cut off the heads or what? I don't know, cut off. So in any case, Sennacherib went back home, and as he entered his temple, his own people murdered him there. So that is now typically Satan. You can honor him and serve him, and he makes you great, and then he whacks you at the end. But our God, if you read 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4, is strong to overthrow strongholds. What is strongholds? Our thinking, what is also going on here. So it's not even in the physical only that God can conquer. It is in our brains, what we think and where we're going as well. He can overthrow that with this resurrection power. And this is what I want to end and say. It is a power that I don't think even I can grasp really. And I try to share a little of it, but it is immense. It is super great and awesome. And I want to, if you can please stand and close your eyes and just, talk to God. And I want to ask you a few questions. Where are you tapped in? What power do you use? And how do you know where does this power come from? We have to test it. And we test it to the Word, to the Bible. If it's not from God, it's not. You may not tap into that power. And in your heart or in your thinking, do you minimize God's power, resurrection power that flows through us? And if it's so, I will ask you to just by yourself repent. And or do you want prayer as Paul prayed, that we will have the wisdom and the knowledge of his mysteries and how his power operates and works through us? So if there's any of these questions, you're more than welcome to come to the front and we can pray with you, or you can sit and you can share with God yourself. In the name of Jesus Christ.